Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day. Today, our scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 31 through 34. Let's listen for God's word to us today. Here is another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but it becomes the largest of the garden plants. It grows into a tree, and the birds come and make nests in its branches. Jesus also used this illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she only put a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. Jesus always used stories and illustrations like these when speaking to the crowds. In fact, he never spoke to them without using such parables. This is God's word for us today. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks that you are already in this space and have already prepared us to hear your word. We pray that you would teach us something new, inspire us today, so that we can live more like Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So how did we get here? It turns out that how we got here, this generosity project, how it came to PRPC, well, is exactly the point of projects like these, because generosity spreads and kindness is contagious. It started with a letter. It was Christmas time, and there was this letter printed on bright green paper that came with $100 and a challenge. A challenge and an invitation to be a part of spreading the joy of Christ at Christmas time by sharing that $100 with someone or some people in need. One of our church members, she learned about this letter and was so inspired by the potential for generosity and kindness in our community. Well, she wanted to see something like that happen here. So our mission committee, they worked with our church leadership to figure out, well, what's the right way, what's the right size and scale of a project like this for a church like ours? And we decided $1,000 to start, $25 in 40 envelopes, our generosity project that started back in June. Today we're going to be hearing stories and celebrating some of the ways that our community was able to share that money with someone in need and really what they learned through that experience. And before we do that, before we hear those stories, I think it's important to say that another part of how we got here is that it wasn't easy to get here. You know, this idea, this project, this way of being generous, well, it didn't make sense to everyone, not all at once. There were questions. There were questions about how much money is the right amount of money to give away in this way. There were questions about, well, where would the money go? And would people be responsible with it? Would the recipients of the money use it wisely? Would the members of our church even want to do something like this? Would it work? These are all really good questions, and I'm really grateful to have been a part of the conversations that we had throughout this whole process. Because all of these questions that people were bringing when it came to the church's money, well, they're probably questions that they have and bring up when it comes to their own money, too. You know, and something that we often miss is that our questions about money are always questions of faith. Questions about who gets what and how they get it, these questions are inextricably connected to what we believe about who God is, who our neighbor is, and how we are all connected. You know, a lot of these questions, they don't have one right answer. Some don't have any good answers at all. But my refrain throughout our whole discernment process was, we're still going to learn something. You know, if you all didn't want to do this, or if you didn't know how to be generous and how to look for needs in your community, or you didn't exactly trust the person you were sharing that money with, we were still going to learn something. We were still going to learn something about what we're comfortable with and what we're not comfortable with, and where we still have room to grow and how God can use us. The parables that we just read about the mustard seed and about the yeast in the dough remind us about what God is doing. The kingdom of heaven, God's home on earth, it's already real. It's already happening. God is acting. Things are changing. Sometimes in ways that we can see, and in some ways that it's impossible for us to perceive. Theologian N.T. Wright says about these parables that they aren't teaching moments, but preaching moments. They don't offer instruction about what the kingdom of God is like, but they call for faith in the God who is active, this tiny movement initiated by Jesus. Participating in a generosity project like this, or just practicing a life of generosity, is an act of faith. Faith that in the end, it matters. All of the little acts of kindnesses and grace and generosity that in the end, they make a difference. Some people talk about it like a ripple effect, like one good thing inspires another, inspires another, inspires another. But even if it doesn't, even if your one solitary act of kindness is just that, one moment in time, one act of kindness, the faith of it is that it still matters, that God is still at work in that one solitary moment, and that it mattered. It mattered for the person who shared kindness and the person who received it. And we have faith that that's enough, that in the end it matters how we show up for each other, how we share with one another, how we're kind to one another. I think that's a lot of what you're going to hear today in these stories, is stories about hope and stories about trying to make a difference and just praying that it mattered, that people felt seen and cared for and loved by God and known by their neighbors. To start off our storytelling, our summer intern Molly is going to sit down with Pastor Josh to learn about how the Ericksons did their generosity project this summer.
We wanted to know how to inspire our community to live more generously. We believe in the power of generosity, that small acts of kindness can have a ripple effect and a big impact. We wanted to challenge our community to be more generous, and we gave them the funds to do it. One Sunday, we gave away envelopes with $25 each in them, and we challenged our community to look for opportunities to be generous, to pray and ask God to open their eyes to who is around them and what needs are around them. It could be somebody behind them in the grocery checkout line. It could be somebody they see with a sign at an intersection. It could be a young mom herding kids into the car. When we stop, when we pay attention, when we believe that a small act can make a big difference, that's how generosity spreads. That's how love spreads. This is our generosity project, and these are our stories.
Hey everyone, I'm Molly Shanahan. I'm the summer youth intern here at PRPC, and I am here today with, you might not know him, but Pastor Josh, one of our pastors here at PRPC.
Thanks, Molly. I'm glad to be here.
We've been having the Generosity Project throughout the summertime, and Josh's family, the Erickson family, has participated in the Generosity Project. One of the questions we have today is, what did your family do with the Generosity Project and gift?
Yeah, so what we did with our Generosity Project gift is we gave it to a server, a waitress, at the restaurant that we go to the most often when we do go out. And we decided to give it to a waitress because we knew how impactful the pandemic had been on the food service industry. And so we wanted it to give to somebody at a place that we knew and might bump into again. And so we did that last Sunday night. And so after we were done with our dinner, we got the check and we had the receipt. And we were ready to go, and we knew we were going to do this, and so we put the money in the thing you give back to your server with the bill, and but then we wrote on the note, I wrote a little something, and I wrote at Park Ridge Presby, like our handle, and then I wrote, this is a gift for you from Park Ridge Presbyterian Church. We just want you to know that you matter to us, and God loves you. And we left it.
Sweet.
And we haven't heard anything from them,
okay.
which is fine. We didn't expect to.
Yeah.
But I do hope maybe if we get the same server again sometime, that she might remember or recognize
us. Do you guys always have the same server every time
you
go out?
No, we don't.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's the Red Barn restaurant on Kensington and Mount Prospect near Randhurst Mall. So it's really busy, really popular.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. And another question is, what did your family learn from the Generosity Project?
So it took us a little while to figure out who we wanted to give the gift to, but one of the things that it really did was it gave us an opportunity to talk about food insecurity and housing insecurity and poverty issues with our kids. And in particular, we had, and we saw some people who were in need that we could have given it to. So I'll admit, one time we were looking for the gift and we didn't have it with us because we saw somebody we could give it to. But in particular, there was this gentleman who we see on the road near our house. And Will, our son, started to ask questions about poverty and housing. And it gave us a chance to talk about how so often people are food insecure or housing insecure or in poverty for reasons that are not their fault. And it gave us a chance to talk about how important it is to give to our church, give to mission agencies who can do the direct work with people as well. And so like the blessing for our family was that it gave us the opportunity both to be generous, with this gift from our church to a random person, but also that it gave us a chance to talk about all these things with our kids. And I gotta tell you, like, I did not have that kind of conversation with my parents when I was 9 years old. And I have great, loving, wonderful parents, but like, this Generosity Project gave us the occasion to talk about it as well.
Thank you, Josh, for joining us today and sharing your story. And thank you to everyone else who is sharing their story too.
So I love that. I love how the Ericksons decided to share their Generosity Project. And we have a few more stories from families that I'm going to be sharing. And I love that one of the opportunities of this Generosity Project was helping parents talk to their younger kids about some of these needs in our community and what to do about it. And the next story we have from the Park family is one like that too. They happened to be at church on the day that we were sharing those Generosity Project envelopes after not really being in person much for worship because of the pandemic. And it was their younger son, Jack, who was really excited to be a part of this church's gift. And then when they left church, he soon realized, well, the need was everywhere. And they didn't really know where or how they were going to share this $25. So it was difficult to decide, they said, until they received an email this past week from the coaches at the gymnastics gym where their other child, their older daughter, has been doing gymnastics for several years. And it turns out that one of the gymnasts there, well, she has a parent who's been ill for a long time and is taking a turn for the worse, is actually on a ventilator right now. And because of the illness in the family, the other parent has had to leave their work so that they can be a caregiver full time. And so obviously because of the illness and the other parent not being able to work, there's financial strain on this situation, which is already a really hard and stressful one. And so the Park family said when they heard about that opportunity, they knew that that was the right one for their generosity project gift. And so the mom asked Jack, this younger son, if he learned anything from the generosity project. And this is what Jack said. He said that we always need to be thinking about how we can help other people, because there are a lot of people who need help. To always try our best to be nice to others and to be thankful for what we have. And I couldn't agree more with what Jack learned through the Generosity Project. And I love this creative way that the family found to respond to a need. You know, I think we initially thought people would be sharing a lot of money with people begging on the street, maybe near an intersection, downtown. And this was a way to respond to a need and a way for our church to respond to a need that we never would have known about otherwise. Our next story does come from another church family, another family who is lucky enough to use this as a conversation starter and include all of their kids in how they might use this gift to bless someone else. So the Gallego family, they've got three kids, and they were talking about as they left church how they were gonna share this gift, and they had a lot of ideas. And everything from buying flowers for a neighbor who lost their father, or another neighbor who lost their brother last year. You know, a small kindness, a gesture to say you're not alone and we see you when you're grieving. That's a great way to share a generosity project gift. They also talked about maybe buying $25 worth of ice cream on a hot day and giving it out at the playground. Another great way to share kindness, and what a surprise that would have been for the kids that day. In the end, because their mom works downtown, they decided to share it with somebody that she would run into on her daily commute downtown. She says she sees a lot of less fortunate folks. But one day she was walking to a restaurant to meet a friend and saw a middle-aged man asking for cash from cars on Randolph Street. It was a hot day and they were standing in the middle of traffic, really risking their life for a few bucks. And so she thought maybe this $25 could help him get a full meal or a train ticket somewhere else. So she stopped on Randolph, right where it crosses the Chicago River in the Loop, called him over and handed him the envelope. He said, God bless you. And she said, back at ya. Same to you, sir. That's what she said. Same to you, sir. And she hasn't seen him since, but she hopes that he's gained a little confidence that life isn't always terrible, and there are Christian folks like us out here looking to spread love and kindness. It was a random Wednesday, and I pray he's safe and fed somewhere in Chicago. What I love about this story is the reminder, too, that this is part of what we do as Christians, right? I want there to be love and kindness and generosity in the world with or without Christians, but also it's part of what it means to be a faithful Christian. And I like that this family has connected it to their Christian faith and that's their hope, that this person would believe that there are Christian folks like us out there who want good things for this person and anybody else who might find themselves in this situation. Our next story comes from one of our young adult members. I love this story too because it feels like it could be any of us on any day. They decided to share their generosity project while they were actually out trying to treat themselves. They were having a rough day at work, just a busy, stressful day at work. I'm sure you know the kind. And so they decided to treat themselves the way they often do with a trip to Target, maybe a little Starbucks and Chick-fil-A on the way home. I'm sure you have had a treat yourself kind of day like this. But what was interesting is that this trip out of the house that was for them became an opportunity for God to show them all that they had and put their life in perspective a little bit. She was caught off guard by seeing a young woman kind of around her age who was out on the intersection begging for money with a sign. And because she had the Generosity Project envelope with her, even though she was out to treat herself, she used the opportunity to share this Generosity Project gift, this $25, with this young woman on the street. She had a baby strapped to her chest, and the sign that she was holding said, anything you can give, trying to start a new life for my child. So she said, after my initial shock of seeing her in an area I had never seen someone asking for money or help before, I pulled forward, rolled down my window, and handed her the envelope I'd been keeping in my car from the Generosity Project. I love everything that God did through this story, and I especially love the ways that this is helping somebody reflect on all that they have and to have some new perspective. And we all get in moments like that where we need a little bit of perspective. And God was working that day to bring these two people together at that intersection. The last story we have to share is from some of our older members. And in the community where they live and really the age that they're at, they're not really driving around encountering a lot of folks on underpasses and at major intersections. And so first they didn't really know how they were going to use this Generosity Project gift. But then they decided to double the gift and make a $50 donation to the Chicago Food Depository because they were pretty sure that anyone who might need help from them on the side of the road might also need help from one of these local food pantries. And so they felt good not just sharing that $25, but then matching it and doubling the impact to make that contribution to the Chicago Food Depository. And I love that too because it shows creativity and faithfulness to the project that we invited folks into with us. There's not just one way to be generous. All of these stories were a little bit different. And I still think that God was working to inspire generosity, to double that gift and to make a gift in this way. Maybe these folks give to the food depository all the time, but maybe not. Maybe this was an irregular time for them to be making that donation. And I still believe that God was working to inspire generosity in this instance. You see, the thing about generosity is that it spreads. And kindness, it is contagious. And all of these stories are examples of that. And all of these stories, they're now part of what the kingdom of God is like. Like that yeast that's being worked into the flour, you might not ever be able to encounter the same people in these same circumstances ever again. But all of these kindnesses, all these little acts, they're getting baked into the larger story of what God is doing in the world to help people experience the love of God. And just like the yeast that causes that dough to rise, all these small acts of generosity cause the kingdom of God to increase right here, right where you are. We want to say thank you to everybody who participated in the Generosity Project, who shared your stories with us. We'll continue to try to celebrate and share those stories when we can. But we're encouraged by the kindness and generosity that you have been able to spread and share in your community. And the amazing thing, and really the faith lesson in this, is that you don't know what happens next. You don't know what comes from these acts of kindness and generosity that were shared, but we have faith in the God who works things out. We have faith in the God that is at work in the world, spreading love and kindness in big and small ways. Amen.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.